This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PTB, Wrestling Network, friends and family, welcome back to your home for everything current, up-to-date, modern-day pro-pugilism, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am Scott Criscolo. Thanks for joining us. Hope everybody's doing well as we are entering May, and at least here in the Northeast, we're starting to slowly feel spring. I hope if you have the seasons like I do, you're feeling spring. If you have the seasons like my boy Dave Hall in Australia, he's feeling the fall. So, but what's heating up is wrestling because it heats up all the time. For the second straight episode, we're actually going to preview two shows for this coming weekend. One of them, if you're listening to this on Friday morning as it drops, one is tonight. In Albany, New York. The other is tomorrow afternoon in France. So we will preview TNA Under Siege, and then we'll preview tomorrow's, or if you're listening to this, Backlash France. First show since Philly. And I have a WWE story I want to talk about with my guest this evening. Let me bring in my guy at the moment, where hopefully more will come. Waiting for a third. This gentleman, of course, is the man, the myth. He is the co-host of the NBA Team Pod over on the PTB Pop Experience, and I want his thoughts on what just happened a moment ago as we're recording, which was the elimination of Giannis and Le Bucks. Not the Young Bucks. Le Bucks. Knocked out by the Pacers in the first round. Good evening, Boogie of the Bayou, Mr. Andrew Reich.
Hey, yeah, that's definitely the old Bucks. They, I think this is true. They are the oldest team in the NBA on average.
The Lakers aren't?
With Pat, they are older than the Lakers.
Wow.
I mean, when Doc Rivers sees an old, an experienced team, he's like, I cannot wait to ruin this one, too.
And Giannis just didn't make a deal, so.
Well, Giannis didn't play at all, and Damian Lillard got hurt, too. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know. Doc Rivers will have more chances to absolutely screw up championship caliber teams. It's okay. But I'm glad to be back. I know that there was – how did the main event draft go? How did the PTBN main event draft go?
Well, you have been drafted to the Jenny position, so you're now going to have to talk about Kama Sutra. And I have been drafted to the Pop Experience, so now I have
to – Did you pick Matt Souza and then immediately flip him for – a new pair of headphones.
I did. I flipped Matt Souza for Marcus Fuller, and then yeah. So
I was a protected pick. So suck it.
You were. But yeah, you're the inter main eventical champion.
What did you think? That's the WWE stuff. What did you think about that? How the champions were protected? You were okay with that?
I am, because the belts are kind of themed.
Brands.
All the belts on Raw have that world title look, and all the belts on SmackDown have the WWE branding on it. Like, if you look at Cody's belt, that's the WWE brand belt. And if you look at Damian Priest's belt, it's the world title. And now, you know, the title now Becky Lynch holds because Rhea Ripley got hurt. That looks like it. You've got the new tag belts, which look just like it. The IC belt and the US belt, they kind of have their own thing, and that's fine. But, and then on the WWE side, the WWE title, oh my God, I was marking out, belt junkie that I am, the WWE tag title belts on SmackDown are very similar to the old school.
I think they refurbished the women's tag belts, too, at the same time.
I think they may have, yeah. That, and a belt that's going to be very prominent this weekend in France. I like the new tag belts on SmackDown look exactly like the old school 80s, 90s WWF World Tag Team titles, which are arguably the greatest look. Well, the NWA tag belts of the late 80s, early 90s that had the blue leather, that's close to as cool looking as the WWE belt. So
yeah, where's John Cena on this draft? Oh, that's right. I can't see him.
He is in France, though.
They need to do that. They need to do that anytime someone has a bad joke, a dad joke, and it goes womp 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 womp.
What if I think most people worried, Boogie, Wednesday night on Dynamite, were they afraid that like Kenny Omega was going to poop himself or something? I mean, what if he did? at intestinal stuff, and then they whacked him with the fuck, you know, because Jack Perry's not exactly, you know, Triple H.
He had a moment in the promo where he said, if I have to have a poop bag when I wrestle, I will do so. And I think only Ric Flair and Terry Funk actually have pulled that off. So he would join the Hall of Fame list of legendary wrestlers who can crap their pants successfully and have a great match.
Correct. Yes, that is
true. Sid did it. Sid did it, but he didn't need a bag. He needed his own tights. Womp, yeah, womp, his own
womp, womp, womp. All right, you're super womping there, Rish. So, yeah. All right. So before we get to the previews, we are going to preview what many consider quote holdover shows: TNA Under Siege and WWE Backlash France,
as Paul Heyman would call it, the bitch shows.
The bitch shows, yes. I got a story that I just want your thoughts on. This was on TJR Wrestling. It was brought up to me by, I think it was Ryan Gray earlier today, brought it up. Maybe it was yesterday. So it's on a TJRWrestling.net, and the story goes as such. The Rock returned to the ring at WrestleMania 40, but when egos clash and business is to be done, were there more behind-the-scenes games at play than fans were aware of? The Rock made his huge return to the WWE ring at WrestleMania 40 when he teamed with Roman Reigns to defeat Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in the Night 1 main event. That seemed to be a very different main event from what WWE had planned when The Rock returned to the company earlier in the year, as the highly anticipated Rock vs. Roman Reigns match was the plan. However, fan support swelled behind Cody Rhodes, and he got his rightful main event and captured the WWE title from Reigns. And now it seems there might have been quite a few people in WWE happy that The Rock didn't get his way. Speaking on Wrestling Observer Radio, Mr. Meltzer revealed that there had been games played in the run-up to WrestleMania involving The Rock. Listen to this. Quote, "It seems obvious to me, meaning Dave, there was a lot of games being played with the whole WrestleMania thing. Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble was definitely done to, there were people who did not want the Roman Reigns versus Rock match. There were a lot of manipulation going on that a lot of people weren't aware of. It seemed too convenient to me, Dave, and there's a lot of reasons for it too. I wouldn't call it power plays. There's just very interesting games being played on both sides, which is funny because Roman Reigns and The Rock are cousins and everything, and there are a lot of people who wanted Cody Rhodes to get that spot before the fan thing happened and didn't want The Rock to get that spot, but The Rock was going to get that spot unless he volunteered not to have it. He's going to get what he wants." Dave then added that some people in WWE feel resentment towards The Rock due to his declaration that his return made wrestling cool again, despite a massive year for the company long before he ever returned. Back to Dave, quote, "In some ways it's good, in some ways it's bad. No one can say anything bad about him publicly, but there are people who resent him going like, quote, I came back and wrestling's cool after WWE had a tremendous year, and the idea that he's trying to take credit for this resurgence that happened a year before he came back. Even people who are very negative on him readily admit he made the brand more popular. He drove TV ratings to a great degree. He helped drive this WrestleMania to be the biggest two-day WrestleMania there's been. There were definitely people who were happy Sunday outdrew Saturday when it came to viewers, but Sunday was the climax. The idea that the match with The Rock and his return did not outdraw Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. But you can also make the argument everyone knew The Rock was going to be involved in that match too." The discussion finished up with Dave noting that even some in WWE felt The Rock's return was due to him trying to find some success after some failures in his other ventures. Quote, "There were some people in WWE who felt like his return to WWE this year was an attempt to turn around a losing streak, so to speak. Young Rock got canceled, some of his movies weren't as successful as hoped for, and WWE was an easy win. At the same time, put it this way, they made him a $30 million a year offer to join the board of directors. That's them coming to him and not him coming to WWE. And he's been talking about returning to wrestling since literally as far as doing the match with Roman Reigns, 2019. So it's not something that just came out of the blue because the idea he wasn't doing well. These comments came after an article claimed The Rock arrived hours late to WrestleMania with WWE forced to refute these claims. What are your thoughts, Boogie?
Wow. It's a lot, but I can parcel it the best way by talking about the two articles that kind of are footnoted there. And it's ironic, though, Scott, because they actually didn't come from The Observer or from Fightful. They're from Hollywood Trades. So I don't remember which of the – whether it was Variety or The Hollywood Reporter. But there was an article that had come out the week of WrestleMania, which clearly was a PR push by Nick Khan and company, where The Rock was credited for the surging Raw ratings and increased popularity. To be fair, Scott, The Rock kind of did push the popularity and the buzz for WrestleMania 40 with that incredible segment with Cody Rhodes in the rain where he made him bleed. That was a fantastic segment. It was a great selling point. He then came back for the next Raw where they whipped him, and it was fantastic. But I do agree that it did seem a little odd that Rock just comes in and it's like, all right, I'm just going to take the credit for everything. And even though we literally were building this story up, and The Rock didn't even get involved in it until January. The one you said about maybe having a poison pill in there where we're going to have Cody win the Rumble before The Rock steps in, so that with Cody already in place to be a contender for the title, if The Rock just steps in and supersedes it, the fans are going to shit on it, and it's going to force him to have to pivot. I guess so, but, you know, I think that is a situation where if The Rock wanted someone other than Cody to win the Royal Rumble, they would have done it. I think a bigger influence just had to do with CM Punk's absence due to injury. I think that was the big reason. If Punk was healthy, it was going to be Punk versus Rollins at the main event of night one, not the tag match. That was a makeshift main event. And I think they would have just hammered through with Rock versus Roman if they really wanted to do it that way. The other Hollywood Trade article that you're talking about has to do with this expose. And this is the second one Dwayne Johnson has had. It's funny because John Cena, remember, he in that legendary promo, he's like, well, I don't like Dwayne Johnson. Well, guess who else doesn't like Dwayne Johnson? Hollywood! Because they had an expose that came out, I believe, a year ago, where a lot of people were crapping on him for his behavior on the show Black Adam.
Correct.
When they filmed it, which also bombed. To be fair, it didn't do well in box office and for DC. And then there was one that came out from the website The Wrap, which is also a Hollywood Trade, about the sequel to Red Notice called Red One, where he was chronically late. He has outbursts. And when he had filmed Red Notice, he had had a huge fight with Ryan Reynolds. So these are people you don't – Scott, Ryan Reynolds' wife is best friends with Taylor Swift. Do not piss this man off, okay? He owns soccer clubs and, like, crypto.
Mint Mobile.
Yeah, Mimmel. He actually turned an amazing profit off of that. Clear. He's also starring in probably the biggest movie of the summer, Deadpool Wolverine. But that's either here or there. For Dwayne, yes, his Hollywood career is a damage control. He's filming a new movie this summer. That's why he's out. He's filming a movie with Emily Blunt called The Smashing Machine, which is about Mark Kerr, the UFC fighter. And he's going to try to get an Oscar push for it. He wants to try to revitalize his career. And it might work. Hopefully it can. The funny thing about Dwayne is that when he did his presser after WrestleMania night one, he seemed so – I know that some people can really fool you, but he seems so nice. Like, he seems like a good, nice, approachable person. Maybe behind the scenes he's not, okay? And behind the scenes in WWE, did he strong on some things? Did he maybe push, yeah, I need to really win this night one main event? He probably did, but, you know, and I say this respectfully about The Rock, and I say this respectfully about the wrestling industry. One man's trash is another man's treasure. If the Hollywood system or the Hollywood The rumor mill, or if the buzz is lacking and they're trashing him all the time, he's just gonna downshift and just go to the wrestling portion where he's now a stockholder, a board member. He has stake in the game in WWE with TKO. So he can go in there and say, all right, well, if I can't run stuff on the productions in Hollywood and I get a bad reputation, then I'll just go to the company that I help run, and I'll just do what I want there. Mm-hmm. That does lend to a toxic environment, but it's Dwayne Johnson, Scott. Stars get their way. I think the reality for Dwayne is that on these Hollywood functions, he's not getting the same, he's not going to get the same preferential treatment he always did, because some of his movies have not hit really well over the last probably 5 years.
One thing I've heard about him, and this goes back quite a number of years, The Rock never says no to a script. He literally, script handed to him.
Scott, what are you talking about? Are you talking about Hercules?
I like the Tooth Fairy, though. Gridiron Gang? That was very good.
Gridiron Gang was good. I remember I heard a story he tore his Achilles while he was on that movie.
Yeah, crazy.
That was an early go. But yeah, he did Doom, which was a total bomb. He did the Tooth Fairy. He even in the later years, he did Baywatch. He even made fun of Baywatch one time during one of his roasts. And yeah, he's had a lot of stinkers. Jungle Cruise did not do amazing. There's a couple of other ones where if he'd have just shown a little bit more range as an actor, I think it would have been helpful. He has great hits too. He's about to be in the next Moana, which I'm pretty sure will do very well. Moana is a very popular Disney film.
Yeah.
The sequel very well. So he's going to build it back in Now let's just circle this all back to the wrestling portion, the WWE portion. As diabolical as it sounds, Dwayne Johnson can do whatever he wants. So if Dwayne comes in and says, you know what, Cody, I want to win the title at SummerSlam, it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's a little more clever than that. The political gamesmanship, the fact that maybe Triple H is somehow involved in it, it wouldn't shock me. Triple H is a great political person, or politicker. But I don't know if it's that bad. I highly doubt that they're on the wrong foot that quickly with the new partnership. I got a feeling they're in better congruence in terms of their plans and how Rock feels and not hurting any feelings. I think Rock is a little more collaborative than that. I think it's a little bit of telephone, tele-wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. And he pivoted and became a heel so he could push the Cody Rhodes to the moon, and it did work. I mean, the crowd in Philly was off the charts when both nights, and when Cody got the three count.
Yeah.
It went crazy. So
I also like the idea of Rock being like there's no official. I was thinking about this because of that video that came out when Drew McIntyre re-signed his deal. I know we were probably going to mention it during the show, but Drew McIntyre signed a new deal for pretty big money to stay in WWE. But it was Dwayne that kind of I don't want to say took the credit for it, but he did. They had this Instagram video where he gave him a sword while he was eating dinner or something like that, a ceremonial thing. So I like the idea that The Rock is like the negotiation finisher, where if Rock really likes this guy who's a star in WWE and wants them to stay, and they're kind of on the fence and they haven't signed a new deal, it reminds me of when Magic Johnson was still associated with the Lakers, but he wasn't running things. So Jerry West would say, hey, up and coming star, do you want to come here? Here's Magic Johnson and his 5 championship rings to talk you into. And that's what Dwayne feels like. Dwayne feels like he comes in, he's like, hey, I'm the most famous wrestler, or one of the 3 most famous wrestlers who's ever lived, and I think you're the future, and I want you here. I like that. It's better than Mark Carano telling you that shit and chasing you around like a skunk. you know?
Yeah. Another story that I just found that I thought you'd find funny. It's about the aerial assassin himself, Will Ospreay, who is going at Double or Nothing. He's going to beat Roddy Strong because if Okada's got a belt, well, Will's got to have a belt. Prior to that, though, prior to becoming All Elite, he was considered one of the biggest free agents on the market, as we know. He made his name wrestling in New Japan, etc. During an interview on AEW Unrestricted, which is their pod, I guess, he reveals that WWE superstar AJ Styles did reach out to him and tried to sway him to WWE. Quote, AJ was on the phone to me when he was trying to. I guess the right word would be sway in making my decision on which company I should sign with. And it flatters me because AJ is my hero. I wanted everything I wanted to become. I feel like he's always kept an eye on me. I feel like even now, I guess that's what the phone call was about, but he always keeps an eye on me every now and again. But for me, coming to AEW was the right thing to do. I just knew coming here, I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to be part of a change in the culture.
Well, unfortunately, Scott, they didn't grind out a deal, did they? Womp, 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 womp.
You've been womping all night.
They never said the numbers, and you know, the only intel we ever got about that from the Sean Saps and the Meltzers and the Kellers is that AEW gave him more money per year, and WWE just wasn't willing to match it because they didn't see the value that high in him. I believe by WWE standards, if that's true, they made a mistake. If it was a highest bidder situation and they could have gotten Will, if they just offered a bit more, they should have done it. But that's neither here nor there, and it's over because he's now in AEW. He's phenomenal. He's, no pun intended, he's been just rolling through these matches. I know it's all subjective, but I'd say he's had like 4 or 5 stars already since he's been here. So I say here like I know. But man, yeah, AJ Styles, he's actually going to be in the main event of a pay-per-view coming up for WWE, and it's, you know, it would have been a nice little role for Ospreay, had he signed, to come in and, wrestle Cody Rhodes, or wrestle Damian Priest, or be a Raw superstar who's, like, at the head of the things. I think he would have impressed in WWE no matter what. I don't think he would have gone to NXT. I think he would have gone straight to the main roster.
You're probably right. I think you're probably right.
Now, granted, NXT in this, I mean, it's all controlled by the company itself. They can decide who gets called up and who doesn't. But NXT got gutted. Like, they lost Dragunov. They lost Carmelo Hayes for good. They lost Kiana James. They lost Bron Breakker for good. They lost Dijak. Lyra Valkyrie. Like, that's tough. I don't want to say they have to start over because Trick Williams got that NXT belt now, and he's probably the biggest ratings draw quarter hour wise that NXT has, but they got to start over on some things. They lost some big names in the draft.
They did. But I think NXT is going to be okay. I think it's a chance for Roxanne Perez to shine a little bit more. She's actually going to defend her title against Chelsea Green, I think, at Battleground.
Can I give you my conspiracy theory about Battleground?
Sure.
The UFC Apex is going to be the new Full Sail. This is the christening of it. They want to have the shows in Vegas. They want to train the kid. They want to move everybody to Vegas.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I think it sounds insane.
I think it depends on the Full Sail University situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe TKO wants that.
I don't watch UFC.
Never wants that, but
maybe you watch more UFC than me. You definitely watch more UFC than me. I don't watch it much at all. I had a friend who does, and I said, "What's the Apex like?" He said, "I don't understand why they're doing a show there. It's like the performance center when they were having them during COVID." Like, he didn't understand why they were doing that.
Right,
and they're
right.
pumping it out really big that they're going to do this special battleground show in June in Las Vegas at the basically the UFC's WCW Saturday Night Studio. You know, yeah, but that's what they're planning to do, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if they'll move out of Full Sail. I think they like the comfiness of Florida. A lot of WWE talent, both main roster and NXT, live in Florida. I don't think they want to move. I don't think they want to move. Maybe they want to do like a satellite facility in Vegas for maybe some West Coasters to recruit. But I don't think they'll move everything. I'll give you 50%, Boogie. I'll give you 50% for that. I think they may want to do. Maybe they'll want to do.
How about 60-40 with interest, and we have a deal?
Womp womp.
No. I will say this. I know this is random. They're having a combine to determine the competitors in the ladder match for their new North American Women's Championship. Call me crazy. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it is too, actually. I think it's a good idea, too.
I know who's going to fucking destroy it. There's a woman there named – she's actually dating Tyler Bate in real life. Her name is Sol Ruka.
She's the surfer chick.
I'm watching her doing these crazy things, and I'm like, she tore Tyler Bate.
I didn't know that.
She's dating Tyler Bate. They were at the Hall of Fame together, and I'm like, she tore her ACL, as in past tense. You know what an athlete, man.
Yeah, I think she tore it last summer. I think she did.
Her and Lash Legend. They're gonna destroy it.
I love Lash Legend. Her promos. You know who else? A little more work.
I know who else loves Lash Legend. Someone who likes to whoop that trick, maybe.
Yeah, well, are they going out too?
They are together, yes. Trick Williams and Lash Legend are an item. So when they did that kiss on screen, that was legit. That was a shoot, brother!
So are all the NXTers just dating? Did they just date each other?
Bron Breakker is dating. I feel like Perez Hilton. I'm like, oh, Scott, let me tell you the dating scene going on at the performance. Center. Bron Breakker is dating Cora Jade. That one blew my mind. I heard that one. I saw a picture of it.
Oh.
There's a couple of other ones. One that was interesting, it was one of the releases that happened just recently for WWE because they did have some cuts. I don't remember the guy's name, but he's actually Harley Cameron at AEW's boyfriend. But I cannot remember his name for the life of me, but he just got cut. But yeah, a lot of bedfellows.
I have a theory, and I hate to see this, but I have an odd feeling. I know they're engaged, but I have an odd feeling unless one of them goes to the other company, I don't see Rhea Ripley and Buddy Matthews staying together.
Well, don't worry about it because they're going to have a lot of time because Rhea Ripley is out with a busted shoulder, and Buddy Matthews was spitting out blood against Adam Copeland. I thought he was almost dead, you know. Yeah. So anytime – look – I know sometimes it's a gimmick with the capsules where you can just, like, you know, pop it like a Skittle and start spitting it out. That looked like he actually had internal injury. So I think they're both going to be on the shelf chilling out watching hockey or something.
Mm.
But yeah, it can be tough when you get – once you start separating some of these like these NXT call-ups, you know, you're not in Florida anymore all the time. So it's hard on relationships. You know, it's difficult. There was some intentional drafting with the brands where I can't remember one off the top of my head, but there was one where they had a female and a male, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. They're together kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to me in a minute. But it's tough. It's tough. And I'm pretty sure the company's aware of some of these relationships. And the performers probably make it a priority. Where they're like, we would rather stay together and drive together because we trust each other kind of thing.
Right.
And fly together because we live together.
All right. One more story involving sites and stuff, and then we'll get into the preview. So this does not surprise me, but I think something happened that they didn't expect, meaning this city. So the debate around the location for next year's WrestleMania, be WrestleMania 41, has been on the table for weeks. We had a long conversation, you mean, Steve, about this a while back. While the venue for this grand event has yet to be officially confirmed, both Las Vegas and Minneapolis emerged as strong contenders. Negotiations with both cities have caused a delay in the formal announcement. Moreover, recent reports suggest that Minneapolis's chances of hosting the event are looking bleak, with the Sin City gaining momentum as the preferred choice. According to a new report by Fightful Select, Minneapolis did seem poised to host WrestleMania 41, with the city eagerly awaiting the opportunity to make the announcement. However, internal discussions within WWE have shifted towards Las Vegas, particularly following successive events like the WrestleMania 40 kickoff event and the Super Bowl. Despite ongoing inquiries, WWE has remained tight-lipped about any updates regarding WrestleMania 41's venue. However, sources within the company indicated that Las Vegas is now the front-runner. While early indications point to, of course, April of next year as the likely time frame, discussions have also included May. But I think that was only if they were doing a cold-weather place. Notably, there's a preference among higher-ups to avoid another cold-weather WrestleMania, much like this year, even if the event takes place indoors. And I talked to you guys about that. This is what the source says. Quote, Minnesota is no longer expected to be the site of WWE WrestleMania by most within WWE. For months, Minneapolis was the front runner, and the city has been aching to announce that they'd be getting WrestleMania. However, in recent months, there was heavy internal push for the show to take place in Las Vegas, especially after the kickoff event, which was for free. So I think that's a stupid comparison. And the success of the Super Bowl. Of course, great game, by the way. Poor coaching, but a great game.
Second one in overtime, yeah.
Yeah, but the Niners should have won if the coaching didn't suck. Fightful has asked WWE.
They also would have won if the players knew what to do when they get the ball.
Well, they also should have done it if they just kept handing the ball to McCaffrey and ate out the clock instead of Brock.
All right. I'm so sorry to sidebar you about this, but I know you're gonna love this joke. The funniest part about that clip where the guy didn't know about the rules, that was Kyle Juszczyk. He went to fucking Harvard, Scott. How do you not know the game of football rules and you went to Harvard?
Maybe he knows the rules about other things, Grish, but I mean, it is Harvard football. But anyway, me being a Yale fan, I could give two shits. But the point is, the point is that if the Niners just kept running McCaffrey in the second half, they'd have won the game instead of Brock Purdy throwing 10-yard ducks. Yeah. But anyway,
oh, great game though. Yeah, Pat Mahomes stealing the company. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway. Fightful has asked WWE for any updates about WrestleMania and have only been told that they have nothing to announce yet. People of influence within the company tell us they've heard Las Vegas is now the likely destination. Early indications are that sometime in April will be the landing spot, although May was on the table and discussed. Specifically, it was noted that higher-ups weren't keen on a cold-weather WrestleMania again next year, even if the event was indoors, and I told you guys why. We have to reiterate, until it is announced, it is not official, especially as it pertains to this story. We'll also work to find out more behind WWE in Minneapolis and their reaction to it. Minneapolis has certainly floated information indicate that they expected it. Triple H did mention that the announcement is going to be very soon, so the debate rumors are likely to end in the coming weeks to find out where next month's show is. Now, I told you guys when we had this discussion a couple of episodes ago, the problem with a cold-weather city like Minneapolis is not the show itself. It's not the two nights of Mania. It's the fact that WWE just doesn't want people to show up for the two nights of Mania and go home. They want you there Wednesday. They want you to go to Access. They want you to walk around the city, and they want you to do tourist-y things and go to Stand and Deliver and go to the Access and go to the store and do all sorts of stuff, go to SmackDown and everything. But if you fly into Minneapolis the Wednesday before Mania and it's 25 degrees and, you know, snowing, it doesn't matter that the two nights of Mania are indoors, people are going to be miserable. So that's the ultimate problem. Now, it's pretty much just based on the timeline of the building being built that WrestleMania in 2027 is going to be in Nashville. They want it at the new building in Nashville, but I don't think it's going to be ready until the 2026 season. So Vegas was supposedly going to be WrestleMania 42. So the question is, Reesh, number one, do you think Vegas is going to get WrestleMania 41 next year? And if they do, will WWE think very strongly? And this is me asking, because I've said forever this would never happen, but now I'm not so sure, because I think Triple H will do anything. Could WrestleMania 42 in 2026 be in London?
Okay, so you asked me two questions, and in typical Reesh fashion, I will answer your two questions with two more questions.
Womp, you know, womp. All right, go ahead.
That's a quadruple womp. You know who the biggest heels in this situation are? The
yes.
Polar Ice Caps. We need somebody to squash this thing, chisel this stuff, and we need a global warm just a little bit more so that we can have some nice, crisp 70s and 60s when we have these WrestleManias in April and March and whatever, so that we can have a nice, cool, and fun outdoorsy event in the north, not just in the west and the south. If all you New Yorkers want to see your WrestleManias again, you know, you dig? But here's – okay. So what was the first question again? Will Las Vegas have the WrestleMania? Yes. I think they're strong-arming it to do it. It was very odd, Scott, that they did not announce a location for the next WrestleMania at the one that just passed. That's very odd. I remember that New Orleans' WrestleMania was announced literally a year and 2 months before the WrestleMania. So clearly something was up. I even remember a quote from Nick Khan where he kind of bemused about the fact that the choice, because someone had mentioned how the weather was going to be cold for Philadelphia, which it was, and that they had had to put in some reinforcements such as heating the ring, having some cover so that the wind, like the wind chill didn't catch, make the fans feel colder, make the wrestlers feel colder. And he made a mention of something that it wasn't, that wasn't under my watch when the bid was made, which was interesting because I'm not saying Nick Khan lied. What I think happened is I think Vince had a lot of side deals with these cities where he's like, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, in terms of locations for WrestleMania and bids and stuff. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the two places that they're looking at are places where they had had big WWE events after Nick Khan had become the president of WWE. They had a SummerSlam at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Yes, it was during the social – not social distancing, but they had the mask, and the pace system was a disaster. I think they,
let me tell you something. You want my backstory on the pace system?
Sure, sure.
Because we were – that was a PTB trip. A lot of us were there.
SummerSlam 2021, for those who don't know.
Yeah, SummerSlam 2021 in Vegas. It's cashless. So
– yes.
One of the coolest things in Allegiant Stadium is a – Jack Daniels booth. And I turned to the lovely Mrs. Smith and I said, would you like a Jack and Coke? She, of course, accepted. So I said, oh, I'm going to get myself one as well. So I walked to the Jack Daniels booth and the shit was down. And they said, don't even bother walking to any of the others because they're all down. And the only thing that was working was one merch stand. One. And I ended up buying my I Was There shirt because I always collect those. I bought my I Was There shirt at that booth. But yes, the cash, that was the one bad part. Otherwise, Allegiant Stadium is awesome. Awesome venue for anything.
Man, the pay system in Vegas was so bad that day. Brock Lesnar didn't even have the money to rent a car, so he had to rent a tractor to get to the stadium.
Exactly. And then he kept it and then drove to Nashville. And then drove to Nashville a year later.
Be fair, and I know we've talked about it before. I know your opinion of it. I actually enjoyed that match. The last man standing between Brock and Rock was Roman was very fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun too.
With the forklift or whatever that was.
But anyway, I think by the time I'm sure now after a year of
That was my point.
Raider games and all that. I'm sure they've gotten that taken care of.
And that was my point, Scott. That was a beta test. And so was Nashville when I actually misremembered. That was the one with the Brock John Deere forklift thing. The last
It was Vegas. That
was SummerSlam 2022. So they've run these venues. And they must have gotten good feedback, or they have good relationships with the people who run the venues and the city organizers. And they said, okay, let's try to get back into these places. And maybe Minneapolis thought they had a shot at it, or maybe they gave the best monetary bid as a city. And in terms of convenience, it just wasn't convenient for them because, like, I am going to piggyback what you said. It's about those other events. And if it's 30 to 40 degrees outside, they're not going to go. If it's not a great party life, you're not going to go. And I do not want to judge Minneapolis. I have never been there. My mom's from St. Paul, but I'm pretty sure Minneapolis, there's some fun to be had.
Dr. G went to Minneapolis for non-wrestling in 2019, and he said it's a nice city, a little drab, but it's a nice city.
Yeah, they've got franchises. They've got a lot of things. I'm pretty sure the Twin Cities has a bunch of amazing things that you can visit and do, but it's not Vegas.
No,
and
it's not Vegas.
Nashville. Nashville, and I can say this based off of a lot of friends who've gone there. Nashville's an awesome place to visit.
Yes, and I was there for a non wrestling thing, but it was the same. It was the week after the PTB crew went to Nashville, and they had a blast. So I will look forward to WrestleMania 43 in 2027.
Yeah, and this is not UFC. UFC can get away with this because UFC is not really about the outdoorsy events.
Well, they don't do anything else anyway. They do their show and
exactly.
They leave.
But the thing is they fill, and I'll give credit to UFC for this. They fill those venues to capacity. They sell.
Totally.
People want to go see their, not even their 300s and 200s and 350. They want to see all of them, and they're not worried about the what's the word I'm trying to think of, the extracurriculars. WWE wants to make money on the extracurriculars, the access, the press events, the public outings. They do great with that stuff, and they want to go places where people are going to be out and about and where tourism can be up. The Super Bowl's no different. Nick Khan is a sports guy, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to approach it the same way the NFL would, the NBA would, and the NFL's done the same. The one time they were in Dallas for AT&T Stadium, it was in 2011, and it is, listen, AT&T Stadium, Scott, has had very many awesome big time events, but the one time the Super Bowl was there in February, it was freezing cold and they don't want to go back. Indianapolis, freezing cold. They don't want to go back. Minneapolis, I don't remember their situation. That was the one where the Patriots lost to the Eagles, but I can understand what WWE getting cold feet. But we did have a situation where the Royal Rumble was being bid by a city and the WWE tried to get out of it to the point that the city sued. I don't remember the cities, okay? But you got to be careful with these back-end deals because if Vince said something, oh, yeah, this is it, and they've got the receipts to prove it, and WWE didn't do their due diligence when they changed their mind like they're going to do with WrestleMania, because I do think they're going to Las Vegas in 2025, then they can come back and sue you. So, sure. Yeah. And then the one about, are they going to go to London? No. I don't see it. AEW is sort of patterning themselves where they got their biggest attendance of all time at Wembley Stadium in London, England. So now Tony Khan is sort of hung up on the idea that all in London is now our WrestleMania. That's our destination. That's our that is our manifest destiny. I don't think WWE has to do that with London. If they put SummerSlam in London, I would actually be down with that, to be quite honest with you.
I agree. And I think they're going to try and they try and cover all the regions. So we've just had an East Coast one. This coming year, if it is Vegas, that's a West Coast one. Then in 2 years after that, 2027, it will be a Southeast one if they do.
I can easily see them coming back to New Orleans or Florida. Very easily, yes.
Not before Nashville, though. It's the same region.
Oh, yeah.
I think 2020. Oh, no, that's it. Boogie, they'll always go back to the Superdome. They always will.
It's just a great tourism place, easy to walk, good temperature outside.
But I think JR and I talked about this once, and I think he made a good point. They have quadrants. WWE breaks the country up into quadrants. They have an East Coast, Midwest, Southeast, and West Coast. So they just did an East Coast one with Philly. If Vegas is next year, that covers the West Coast. And then 2 years after that will be the Southeast with Nashville. So I could see them maybe going back to Dallas. I could see them maybe going to Houston, to NRG Stadium. I could see them perhaps going to the Midwest would be tough. Somebody said maybe St. Louis, but that Trans World Dome or whatever the hell it's called is a dump. And St. Louis would be just as cold as Minneapolis.
What about that new stadium they're trying to build in Kansas to try to lure away the Kansas City Chiefs?
I know, yeah, that's crazy.
What's hilarious? You know whose fault that is? That's Trump's fault. Because Trump had an accidental tweet years ago where he said, "Great day for the state of Kansas because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl." And Kansas is like, yeah, we should have the Chiefs.
And then decided not to. And then Kansas City, Missouri decided.
I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
All the Trump haters decided to not vote for the
Chiefs. I don't think Arrow. So. You know what? What they should do. You know what Nick Khan needs to do? And I'm being dead serious. He needs to look at the Taylor Swift Eras Tour road schedule. Look at those venues. How did they do? Las Vegas did great. So did the stadium that they just did the WrestleMania in 2023 for. It's escaping me. The one in California. When Taylor went there, they sold that bad boy out too. Superdome, 3 nights sold out. They want to go somewhere where everyone's going to have a great experience. And I'm not saying that stadium in Minneapolis is a bad candidate. They probably just there's just probably other ones that they would prefer for the whole totality of their experience for the purpose of tourism. You know.
Mm.
I just said terrorism like George W. Bush.
Tourism. Tourism. So we'll see what happens. But I have a feeling that Mania 42 is going to be somewhere in the Texas-ish area.
Well, what about your London point of view?
I'm going to go by my original thinking that they'll never do it.
Me neither.
They're not going to want to do Mania. They're not going to want to do.
To go back to SummerSlam there.
But they're not. SummerSlam is fine. Nobody cares what time SummerSlam is. But you're not going to do. You're not going to do a WrestleMania that starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in North America.
And you absolutely cannot do an outdoors England show in November. It's going to be too cold, and everyone's going to be obsessed with soccer.
November.
Yeah, like Survivor Series, like one of those other ones.
No.
There's no way. Like, it's got to be one of the big ones, either Royal Rumble, WrestleMania.
Yeah, no. The Rumble. I feel like they have now, and I said that we said this last time. The Rumble seemed to be more like baseball stadiums, but of course now you're really niching yourself because it's got to be their warm weather venues or places with roofs. You're not going to do a Royal Rumble at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium or Fenway. I still think a SummerSlam at Wrigley would be so fucking cool. In any event, we'll get more about this when the announcement comes at some point about where WrestleMania will be, and then we can kind of think about it. All right.
Wait, Scott, why would they go to Citi Field? There's no baseball team there. Wah, wah, wah.
Why did I ever bring you back? I shouldn't have stayed on the podcast with Adam Marie and talked about Zion going to the
Knicks. Can you imagine screw Zion Williamson. I hope we trade him for a pack of coins.
A pack of womps. pack of womp womps.
That dude, him and his strained hamstring. My dad always made this joke that Fred Taylor's hamstring should go to the Hall of Fame because without it he would have been if it hadn't been hurt all the time, he would have been the greatest player ever. We need to put Zion Williamson's hammy in the Hall of Fame. It always performs poorly when it had to perform poorly. The most dependable injury you could ever think of. But continue.
All right. So let's now get to the big stuff now. So two shows this weekend involving big companies. Of course, if you're listening to this as it drops, tonight is TNA Under Siege from the Washington Avenue Armory in Albany, New York. Dr. G and I will give you a reaction special for Under Siege coming up this coming Monday afternoon. So there'll be no PTV weekend special this weekend, but there will be a reaction special on a Monday morning for Under Siege. There are 7 matches, one of them on the pre-show. The FBI, that's right, Guido, Zach Clayton, and Ray Jazz, Nope, sorry, no Sally Gratz. Taking on a to-be-determined in a six-man tag. Now the proper, the show proper. Jordan Grace and PCO taking on Steph DeLander and Khan. I didn't realize the Khan-PCO feud was still going on.
Now, just to be clear, Steph DeLander is the one who's been associated with Matt Cardona, correct?
Correct. She had the title shot at Rebellion. Yep.
Kind of looks like Blair Davenport.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a feeling that the heels are going to win that one because I think Steph DeLander is going to pin Jordan Grace, which will lead to another title match, maybe at Against All Odds.
Pump her up for a match at Against All Odds or something like that.
Yep, yeah. I agree with that. I think that's going to happen. Spitfire, the Knockouts Tag Team Champions, the team of Danny Luna and Steve Willey's favorite wrestler, Jody Threat, defending against Alicia Edwards of The System and Masha Slamovich. I would not be surprised, Boogie, if Alicia Edwards and Masha win this match and win the Knockouts tag titles. That way it'd be the last piece of the system to have gold. She's the only one. So that's my pick. I think this is going to be the one. Well, there's only two title matches on this show, and I don't think the other title is going to change.
I'm doing my Will Ferrell in Zoolander thing where I say Masha Slamovich is so hot right now. she's got a nice buzz going after the Mania spat of matches she did there, including including that really not I don't want to say well regarded. I didn't see the entirety of the match, but a match that a lot of people were paying attention to with her and Shayna Baszler. Mm-hmm. So she's got a little bit of buzz going. I did not realize Jody Threat was the one that Athena had taken liberties with in that jobber match that sort of like accidentally turned Athena into a great character. I did not know that was her.
Yeah, that was her. Which is probably why Steve hates her. So
Danny Luna, I have never seen before.
Yeah. They're not bad. They're okay team. Steve hates them.
And their name is Spitfire?
Spitfire. Yeah. Okay. But I have a feeling I'm gonna go because I think they want to really push the system as like the heavy as the powerhouse heel faction. So I'm gonna say the upset's gonna happen here. And I think Alicia Edwards and Masha Slamovich win the Knockouts tag team titles tonight, if you're listening to this on Friday. That way everyone in the system has a belt. Hammerstone takes on Jake Something.
I think Hammerstone just finished up with
Josh Alexander. He lost the rubber match to him, the last man standing. I think he beats Jake Something here to kind of rebuild him.
That makes sense. Jake Something is starting to move up the card as well.
He is. He wrestled a solid effort against Mustafa Ali at Rebellion. So I think he'll be fine here, but I think Hammerstone wins. Speaking of Mustafa Ali, he's the only other guy whose title's on the line. The X Division belts up against Ace Austin. I think this will probably be the match of the night. It'll be a banger. It'll go 20 minutes. But Mustafa Ali, there's no need to take the belt off him now. He's still hot as fuck.
Yeah, great character too.
Yeah, no, this is a guy whose move to TNA was perfectly handled. This was where he needed to be.
I think they have it triangulated really well where Moose is the world champ, Ali is the X champ, Grace is the Knockouts champ. Like those are your, I don't want to say pillars because they brought in some names that you'll probably talk about in the last match. But they are the ones that are probably going to carry the company for the next few months.
Yep, I agree. Speaking of Broken Matt Hardy and Speedball Mountain to take on The System in a six-man tag. Matt Hardy is not under contract. He is a free agent. He's just here to help out. I think a good chance for The System to lose here. I could see Brian Myers or Eddie Edwards eating the pin because I do think Trent Seven and Speedball are going to win the Knockouts titles at some point. This is a safe match for The System to lose. Obviously, Moose, your world champion, Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards, your tag team champion. So no belts on the line there. So this is a safe match for The System to lose. So I think Broken Matt and Speedball Mountain, who obviously didn't win last pay-per-view.
I have to imagine in the lead up to this, there has been some sort of line where Matt says, "The system is broken," like that.
Yes, I think
and
so.
If they haven't, they are not doing their job.
And there is no Brother Nero.
I will ask. I'll be the one to ask, because I don't watch TNA super close, so I'll be the one to raise my hand and ask the stupid question. Why are Mike Santana and Sami Callihan, who just came back, not involved in this show?
Well, Santana, Sami Callihan is still a free agent. He has not re-signed.
So that was a one at what's-its-face, at Rebellion.
At Rebellion. Mike Santana, probably going to float around. He'll keep building. I'm glad he's back in TNA. But Sami Callihan is not with TNA. He obviously is no longer with MLW, so he's a free agent in general. So that's probably why he's not on the show.
And there's one name that's missing, and he is shooting up the iTunes billboard, and that is Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry, I know.
Can
I
you
think
sing
it's
the,
stupid.
I actually can't remember the song off the top of my head. Can you do any of it right now?
No. I don't remember the song off the top of my head either, but it's like, I Believe in Joe Hendry.
That's it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I Believe in Joe Hendry. Anyway, like, and then there's one more match like, that was just added.
30 minutes, yeah.
Josh Alexander and Eric Young taking on Steve Maclin and Frankie Kay. A solid tag. I don't think it matters who wins here. I could see Eric Young pinning Frankie Kay since Frankie Kay won the Full Metal Mayhem match. So this is just one of those safe pay-per-views, kind of like a extended Saturday Night's Main Event kind of thing. I don't think anything earth-shattering is going to happen. Notice I didn't say Nick Nemeth's name. Nick is in Japan because he's wrestling, I think it's Tanahashi this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird because Danielson and Moxley did that. They sort of did their trek where they were in Japan. Then they were in Mexico. They're both back, even though what happened with Danielson is he comes back. Then he has this kick-ass match with Ospreay where he kind of like he got banged up and he probably has to take a break. Moxley's back with the IWGP title, which was a stunner on itself. And his first match back, Powerhouse Hobbs tears his ACL, which is a shame.
But, yeah, I saw that.
People do that. Like they just go to New Japan. They sort of dabble in there and they have their little run there. And this is Nemeth. This is the one where he can kind of do that for a couple months. Then pop up at TNA just in time for Slammiversary, Bound for Glory, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. And then, like I said, Josh Alexander and Eric Young against Steve Maclin and Frankie Kay. I think Eric Young pins Frankie Kay. It's just a fun little match. Like I said, this is like a glorified, almost like a Saturday Night's Main Event, this show.
I read a news bit about Steve Maclin, but I don't remember if it was that he re-signed or that his deal was coming up soon. I can't remember which one it was.
Well, I haven't heard anything. I think he should stay. I know his wife's in AEW, but Deanna he should Barrasso. Stay here. Yes, I think he should stay here. You know, you're like the Chuck Woolery of fucking PTB. You got to make sure that you know everybody, boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, and husbands.
Well, we didn't vote for Trump, so we don't have that in common.
So
Chuck Woolery had one of the greatest... had one of the best like self-owns ever where he was like talking about how COVID was a hoax. And then his next tweet was like, I have COVID.
I know. So there's your episode. That's your Under Siege preview. Again, I don't think it's anything crazy. It'll be a fun little show. It was kind of quick. It's 2 weeks after Rebellion, but then there's a 6 week, not gap, but like a 6 week stretch. And then the next show, June 14th, which is against all odds. And that show's going to be in Steve Willey's neck of the woods, Cicero, Illinois. So there you go.
I know you're going to know the answer to this because you know this stuff, but I'll just say this and you can immediately say what it is. Albany, I always remember that as a wrestling city because it was the location of my favorite match in WWF history ever. You know which one it is.
Well, it's Flair winning the Rumble. Right?
Correct.
Yeah, Flair won in the Rumble. A lot of good stuff in Albany. Kurt Angle won his first world title, No Mercy 2000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't know that. A lot of good stuff happened in Albany. Yeah.
No, I think we've had this conversation loosely before when I do fill-ins. the 1992 Royal Rumble is my favorite WWF match ever. It's not the greatest, but it's my favorite.
I know it is. Yep, I know. it's classic. Speaking of classic shows, this one we're going to talk about probably won't be, but it might be fun to watch anyway. So Saturday, or if you're listening to this as the show drops, tomorrow afternoon, it's 1 o'clock our time, or 1 o'clock East Coast time, from the LDLC Arena in Deschenes-Chaput-Léon Metropolis in France, it is Backlash France. It's on Peacock. Right now, there's just 5 matches. Now, as we're recording, there's still a SmackDown left, but I can't imagine them adding anything else. They probably will.
That is also in France, which is interesting.
Pretty cool. That's yeah. Five matches, 4 title matches, but I think one of them really is the only one that may have a possibility of a win. So we have a tag team match. We have Randy Orton and Kevin Owens taking on the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. I kind of think you really need the Bloodline to win this. If you're going to give these guys any kind of an anything.
I agree.
Yeah, I think Orton probably eats a pin here. Now, the first of our 4 title matches. The Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, defend the women's tag team titles against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. And I think it is criminal if we do not see Bianca and Jade win the women's tag team titles. They would be a badass. And I love, and everyone knows I love Asuka, and I like Kairi Sane. But I think Jade and Bianca as tag team champions would be fucking amazing.
Scott, are you a basketball fan?
I dabble.
This is going to be like UConn. This is going to be like UConn in the last 2 years, where it's like, okay, it's time to destroy you. And I'm sure they can have a good back and forth match, but you know, and this is kind of like a joke from that infamous Punk podcast. They got to make Bianca and Jade here look really, really strong. They got to make them look really, really strong. And I think they will. You know.
And I like that.
I think they should win the belts. I think they should win the titles.
And I think I love that Jade is still kind of doing that tribute with the bull naka naka no tribute with the lines with the makeup lines on her face and all that stuff. That's pretty awesome. So
yeah, and they're doing a lot. I know this doesn't matter, but it seems like they're bonding. They do a lot of social media together, along with Naomi. So clearly, like, Jade is getting acclimated to the WWE locker room and getting comfortable, and we're seeing her more on television.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree. These next 3 matches, I think, have more to do with giving certain people in it a showcase more than the titles themselves. The WWE Women's Championship, that's the SmackDown belt, Bayley defends in a triple threat against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. Obviously, Bayley is not losing. She's keeping the belt.
No.
But I think this is more of an opportunity for Tiffany Stratton to kind of be on her first big stage match. So I think it's more, can Tiffany hang with 2 very experienced workers on a fairly big stage? This isn't WrestleMania or anything, but on a fairly big stage, an international show, which has a little few more eyes. I think Bayley retains, but how do you think Tiffany Stratton will be here?
So I remember when Tiffany, she has like methodically gotten to the point where she can step up her game, but she did have to take the proper steps. I remember she had an NXT match where she was, she beat Lyra Valkyria, and it was for the vacated women's title. And I remember she was good, but not all the way there. Then she wrestled Becky Lynch, where Becky actually won the NXT belt for a little while, and Tiffany was the belt, was the title holder, and Becky won it off her. And I remember those matches they had, and I felt, okay, now she's getting a little better. I want to see, maybe now we're going to see on a WWE pay-per-view if she's going to be able to hit all the spots. Cause she's, when it comes to Tiffany, she is really good at hitting her marks in terms of spots. She does not botch much. And what she does botch or not get all the way right, she makes up for with her amazing athleticism. So I think that with Naomi, who's also still a great athlete, they can have a good one, and Bayley does the ground and pound, and she can kind of try to work around it and have a work, like put together a good match with the other two. I think they can have a better than average match. There's definitely not a lot of heat there. I think the most buzz that came through this angle was that SmackDown match with Naomi and Stratton, where instead of Tiffy time, we almost got a different type of tea time.
I know.
We got dangerously close. I know all the Twitter voyeurs were watching out for that one, but Stratton is really good. She's got a great future. She does not need to win the title here. She has an opportunity to look good. It's not a make or break if she doesn't.
Mm-hmm. No, but it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt. And she's got two people in there that'll take care of her and they'll work well together. But Bayley's
Much like Charlotte in that she likes to do one crazy high spot. She'll probably do a moonsault, not off the top because they don't like stealing those kinds of spots, but she'll probably do some kind of springboard moonsault, something insane.
Right. I agree. All right. The next two big ones. So Damian Priest, his first World Heavyweight Championship title defense against Jey Uso. Same situation here for Jey. Damian's not going to lose. But this is a chance for Jey on a big stage. I wonder if Jimmy's out. Jimmy's hurt. So
he's injured.
For the time being. I mean, this could just be another solo Tama run-in. It could end up in a schmoz. I want this match to be good, and this is just as big an opportunity, not just for Jey Uso, but a big opportunity for Damian Priest. Finally, after carrying the briefcase for what felt like a zillion years, now it's time to put up or shut up. So this is another nice, you know, important but not, you know, fall off the face of the earth platform to shine. How do you think it's going to look?
So this is kind of full circle for Damian Priest, because last year, Backlash, which was, and to be fair, and you are correct in terms of the format, this is not a show that's going to wow the critics when you look at it on paper. However, the show after WrestleMania in 2022, I don't think it was called Backlash, though. It may have been called Extreme Rules. I can't remember. But it was in Providence, Rhode Island. And that was a better than average show. And the one in 2023, that was called Backlash. And I remember that one because it was in Puerto Rico.
Correct.
And that was the one where Priest wrestled Bad Bunny.
Correct.
And even though he did lose that match, it gave us one of the greatest like videos ever of Bad Bunny's entrance. And Priest made him look strong and he looked good in doing so. And that lent to his push, which has led him to winning this world championship. So this is his first defense. He needs to win this match. Jey will be over on France. But I like I said with Stratton, Jey does not need to win this. Momentum, he is losing momentum just a little bit. But he is popular enough, singular, to get it back.
Right.
Without having to win this title. I hope they can just have a kick-ass 15 or 16-minute match where they don't have too many bells and whistles. I think they can have a good match just on its own.
Right. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think they could. But again, it's just a good showcase for both of them to just put on a good match on a stage that's all theirs.
And they're kind of doing babyface stuff with the Judgment Day. Like, I don't want to say it's more comedic, but there was that spot where J.D. McDonagh gets punched by Pat Mahomes, two Super Bowl rings, and he looks like he got bit by 25 wasps.
I know.
Or stung by 25 wasps. But, yeah. They're, you know, and Finn Balor re-signed. That's another thing that happened over the last month. So he's in the bag. Rhea's out. So they can sort of redo some things. And if they want to make Priest sort of like someone that people will cheer for, I don't really know. They haven't had a pay-per-view in France, I believe, ever. And no. I don't even remember the last time they had a show in France. If I had to guess, it was probably in the early 2000s. So it's going to be interesting to see how they react to certain things. I wonder if they're going to go bizarro on this.
Probably not. International crowds are pretty – historically, international crowds are pretty cut and dry. They cheer and they boo. I do think this is an opportunity. I agree with you in the sense that you know, Rhea's going to come back as a babyface because everybody loves her. So
she always was a babyface.
That's true. Mommy, we all love mommy.
In mommy, my eyes.
We want mommy on top. But so I think, I do think that Judgment Day will maybe kind of slowly start leaning over to the babyface side, unless Rhea comes back and they kick her out, which would be stupid. But that would
But we'll mommy kicks them out.
Right. Well, we got plenty of time to figure that out because she's not gonna come back for a while. So
if there's one thing I can tell you as a husband, the wife will kick you out. Don't ask me how I know that.
So she's married to all of them? That's kinky. So anyway.
Why do you think Damian Priest has all those rings?
Why does she show up on the... Oh, my God. Leah Lipley is in the House of Black. No. She fires her own fiancé. No. All right. And the final match, which pretty much this is just a showcase match to make the champion, you know, it's a title defense to make him look good. Cody Rhodes, first defense as WWE champion. He will take on AJ Styles. This match is nothing more than just a match to make Cody look good, because it's AJ who's the modern day Shawn Michaels. Cody's going to win. He's going to retain his belt. This is just a match to make him look good. You know, he'll come out, place to go nuts, you know, the song and all that. That's all this is. There's really nothing more really needed at this point. It's strictly to just give Cody the showcase to just put on a great match. Will it be the main event? Probably. I don't know what other match could do last. I mean, they could do Damian and Jay last, depending on how they book it. But the likelihood is Cody is probably going to go on last.
Cody must finish the story of the night, yes. So I think Cody will finish here. You know how I know wrestling has gotten better over the progressive period of time? Do you remember the Kane push? The Kane push was a slang for, there was always that time between the months of May, maybe April, and probably June or July, where Kane always got a push. Why? Because everybody else was out after WrestleMania and wanted to take a break, and nobody wanted to do the pay-per-view main event for like Backlash and Judgment Day and stuff.
Yep. You know, I read something. You must have read the same thing I did, because I read something today about the Kane push. So I is that why it's on your mind, or you just thought of it?
No, just psycho minds think of like. But
yeah, it's true.
AJ is in the Kane push spot. Yep. You know, that spot after WrestleMania where, hey, who you want to have a good match with? Well, we have AJ Styles, who's in his 40s, but he can still have a good one. And that's actually a great spot to be in for as a professional wrestling fan, that this is a fallback. And I like it. AJ, I don't remember if he did this for media for WrestleMania that just happened where he lost to LA Knight, or he just said it recently because he was promoting Backlash France. But he had made a very poignant comment about the mortality of his career, where he basically said, I'm running out of time. You know, he was very honest about it. And I think Scott, it's not going to happen here. Absolutely not. Cody retains, period. I think there's some gas in the tank for an AJ Styles farewell tour push. I think probably. There is.
He has mentioned retirement.
I don't think now's the time, but I think he was teasing it. You know, I think he's getting ready to retire.
I agree with you, actually.
And I love him. Still good. Yeah. He had some matches to compete for this spot on SmackDown. They had 2 3-ways, and then I think he faced LA again one-on-one and beat him, got the win back. The 3-way where he wrestled Rey Mysterio and another guy was very, very good. So he still got it, clap, clap, clap. It's AJ Styles. He's one of the probably 20 most talented wrestlers purely ever. Period.
Yep.
But
I agree with you 100%.
Cody's got to win this. I will say this for Cody. I was so thankful. I'm at this point, Scott, to be honest, where I don't even look for having great matches in WWE. I look for avoiding serious injuries. And there was a spot where he wrestled Carmelo Hayes on the draft episode where he landed really hard on his shoulder on a weird spot that got screwed up.
Yeah, I think it was partially a work, but yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
I think it was WWE people watching Will Ospreay tape and they're like, I can do that, watch. Oh shit, no, I can't.
Yeah, AEW's the one that's got to worry about the fucking injuries, because sometimes they're just irresponsible when it comes to a lot of
We don't have to talk about Dynasty. It's in the past. I mean, they put I know this sounds elementary because most wrestling promotions ran it this way. Some people would argue Eric Bischoff, when he ran WCW, did not. He did it the other way. But it seems to me now that AEW does it where Dynamite is the regular season and the pay-per-view is the playoffs. And in the pay-per-views, they punch you in the face with some awesome stuff. But with it comes infirmary. It comes with the injuries. And that's real. That's real. If you go hard, you get hit hard. It's true. You got to know when to slow it down.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I concur. But I think, eventually I think we will see an AJ Styles.
Do you feel like WWE is still in that mode? I know there's sort of like this idea of, no, we don't want to dilute the PLEs, they call them. So we will only want like 5 to 6 matches tops for our special events. I kind of like that. But do you feel like they kind of pack up extra punch for the PLEs?
Yes. But I mean, I think a lot of these international shows are almost like glorified house shows. Like they're there to give the international dollar into.
This one absolutely is. Backlash is.
I will admit, the King and the Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia, that's also going to be a glorified house show. I do think that Clash at the Castle on June 15th in Glasgow is going to have a little more meat on its bone. And then, of course, obviously Money in the Bank in Toronto was a different beast altogether. So
yeah, we don't have to – I mean, we don't want to fantasy book too far ahead about Clash at the Castle. That is on June 15th.
Like I said,
that is one where the timing can work out just right for two specific people.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah. But we'll get into that. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it down the line. Anyway, there you go, folks. There's your Under Siege and Backlash France previews, along with some other chit-chat. Andrew Reich, you are one of my favorite annoying people. I'm just kidding.
You're one of my most annoying people.
You're one of my most favorite annoying people. No, not at all. We are going to take an extra week off, vacations and life and such. So our next episode of Main Event will be on Friday, May 24th will be our next episode of Main Event. And hopefully Boogie will be back. Steve Willie will return. Anyone else would care to join us? That, of course, is not only is it King and Queen of the Ring weekend on Saturday, but Sunday is Double or Nothing. Speaking of Vegas, that not at Allegiant. But at T-Mobile Arena. So, right. Is that where they have it?
Yeah. Don't worry, Scott. We're two years away from the Showboat, where we can have that infamous Herb Abrams one where there's nobody there. Where was that? I'm losing track. What arena did he book where nobody showed up?
That was probably the Orleans Arena or the Alarias.
God. It was so funny. They have new episodes of Dark Side recently that popped up, but there's one about Herb Abrams that I absolutely highly recommend on Hulu.
The Herb Abrams one was
amazing.
Amazing. That was very good. I caught up. You got to watch the Chris Adams one this season is pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay.
So thank you for listening, everybody. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Boogie. I appreciate you. We'll be back in 3 weeks on the 24th. We'll preview AEW Double or Nothing. Already a couple matches are in the can, and there'll be more. And we'll see what happens over the next few weeks in WWE. Again, that'll be King of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. No one's really going to care, but we'll see what happens up to that point. So, for Brother Boogie, I'm Brother Scott. You've been in the main event. Enjoy your weekend. And we'll talk to you in 3 weeks.
Hey, Scott. Backlash is on May the 4th. That's the Star Wars celebration day. May the 4th be with you, you know?
Yep.
They're actually bringing over Jabba the Hutt as a special appearance. Oh, shit. That's Bronson Reed.
Shut up, Rish.
California. City of Angels. It's gonna be trouble. Right. I've been preaching this all my life, right, bro? Knock the windows. Watch out. There we go. City of dreams. City of Angels, California, one hell of an illusion. Models turn stripper, four stars in movies. Compton, Beverly Hills, Hollywood Hills, Sunset Boulevard, girls walking the strip. Stars and screens, ghetto kids start to eat. Fake coolers, police abuse the law on the streets. Silicone, South Central killing zone. Plastic surgery, piercing from ass to nose. Sling my wood all the way to Inglewood. Nothing pretty but sure, brother. Century City, Venice to Manhattan Beach. Steroid freaks with a homeless week, a prey to eat. I ain't talk about the sunshine. All I'm talking about is poverty and high crime. No doubt, I ain't dirty about to bust your bubble. California, watch out, cause it's gonna be trouble. California.